Okay, what I'm going to speak today, it's going to be a little bit different to a normal talk on a Sunday. A little bit like the video we've just seen, it's telling you something that's going on, rather than normally we try and kind of speak to your heart and encourage you to follow Jesus. Well, this is something we're doing in the church together. It's a change that we're intending to bring about in New Life Church. We are intending to bring about, to introduce the role of deacons in the church. I'm a bit echoey with this one, I'm going to swap mics.
Yes.
Yeah, almost certainly. We're intending to introduce the role of deacons into the church. And my role today is to explain what that means, what deacons are, what that's likely to look like in the church. A little bit like the video we've just seen, we're going to send out stuff in the on email, Facebook, all that kind of stuff to catch up with, and particularly with people who aren't here today. So this is kind of the fullest explanation of what we're planning on doing. So we are looking at introducing a new role, a new thing into the church, and there's a couple of reasons we're doing that. The first one, quite importantly, is it's biblical. The Bible tells us that the church, the leadership of the church, is made up of elders, which we already have, and deacons, which we don't, or certainly not formally. You could argue, and we have argued when this issue has come up, that we kind of have deacons, but we don't really call them deacons, which is we've got away with that, but it's a pretty rubbish response to that question. We wouldn't say that about anything else. We wouldn't say that if we were, I don't know, if someone said, do you do communion in your church? We'll be like, well, we have a cup of tea afterwards, but we don't really call it communion. We don't do that. Some of the things that we're keen in this church to operate as a church as biblically honouring, as correctly biblically, as following God's ways as we possibly can. And this is an area that we have not been following that biblical model of the church. We haven't. There's some reasons for that. I'll tell you possibly the main reason for that. Across all of our churches in New Frontiers and now Relational Mission, this has pretty much been the case. There's some that do have deacons, but across the board, generally, we don't. And what's happened historically is that our churches have come out of the more established churches that have been around forever. And in some of those churches, certainly not all, and I'm not knocking anyone, but in some of those churches, the role of deacons has caused problems, and sometimes really big problems. There's been effectively two power bases in churches. There's been the deacons and then the leaders of the church, the minister or whatever. And some of those who started New Frontiers and now Relational Mission have almost reacted against that unhelpful background. And so have, I think it'd be fair to say, thrown away the baby with the bathwater and just kind of not had deacons up until recently. And so, but the Bible is clear about this. The Bible talks about deacons. We're going to look at what it says. But the second reason that we're at this point where we're doing this is that the guys whose authority we sit under, Mike Morris and Steph, we happily sit under their authority, and they've encouraged us to explore this area again, to look seriously at this. And we as an eldership team have done that, and we've come to the conclusion that actually it's a really good idea, which you wouldn't expect. I mean, it's biblical and everything, you know. But it does seem really good, and it seems to be a correcting of something that hasn't been in place up until now. If this issue's ever come up, I mean, if anyone's asked me about this, I've always said, well, we've kind of got deacons in the church, but we don't call them deacons. But actually, that doesn't really do it, and we need to address that, we feel. So, what is a deacon? If we look biblically, the word deacon is used throughout the New Testament. It's diakonos, is the Greek, and it means helper, which is not particularly helpful, because that could mean anything. And we could apply that in any number of ways. So the word itself is helpful, it isn't. But there's a couple of passages, a couple of key passages. It's mentioned elsewhere, but there's a couple of key passages. Acts 6 gives the first example of something that looks like deacons being instigated into the very early church in Jerusalem. Early days, so they're not called deacons, and it's early days, and they're kind of feeling their way through this. And then 1 Timothy 3, we have qualifications for elders and deacons. It's what elders and deacons should look like, what characteristics they should have. And so those two passages are key if we're going to look at this. And we are going to look at this. So Acts 6 says this. This is the, like I say, the very early days of the church in Jerusalem. In those days, when the number of disciples was increasing, the Hellenistic Jews among them complained a bit against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. What we've got here, complicated words, really simple concept. In Israel, you've got two groups of people. One group of people are born and bred in Israel. They've grown up there. They know Israel's ways. They've always grown up in synagogues. They know the ins and outs of the faith. They speak Aramaic, and they're part of the church there. Also in Israel, you've got a bunch of people from Jews who've been born and bred outside Israel. They tend to speak Greek in those days because everyone was speaking Greek in the kind of the modern world back in 2,000 years ago. So they had a whole different culture, whole different language, and they were mushed together in this church in Jerusalem. It's the same in Israel today. There'll be people who've been born and bred in Israel, but there's that sense of coming back to the Holy Land, and so you get those two cultures coming together. It seems, from elsewhere in the Bible, they got on amazingly well, actually, these two complete, you know, two very culturally different groups in this one church, got on really well. But sometimes it went a bit pear-shaped. And this is one example where it goes a bit pear-shaped. There's daily distribution of food for widows, and one of those groups is being overlooked because of their cultural differences. That makes sense? Nice little history lesson. So that's where we are there. I didn't really need to tell you any of that, but I looked it up so you get to hear it. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, "It will not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers and sisters, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom, and we will turn this responsibility over to them, and we'll give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word." This proposal pleased the whole group. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, also Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas from Antioch, a convert to Judaism. They presented these men to the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. So that's what we have in this situation. We've got this situation where the 12 gather the whole church together. So they involve the whole group, the whole church, in making this decision. They lay out this stipulation that the people chosen must be known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. And then once that process is done, they pray and lay hands on them and formally call them, well, they don't call them deacons, but they formally commit them to that task. Now let's jump forward to 1 Timothy 3, the other passage we're going to look at about this. So what we just read in Acts 6 was kind of the church working stuff out on the hoof, you know. And this passage is Paul, it's much later on, and Paul is going around from church to church laying down principles, laying down kind of this is how things should work in the church. And he says this, he's just been speaking about elders. In the same way, deacons, this is verse 8, deacons are to be worthy of respect, sincere, not indulging in much wine, and not pursuing dishonest gain. They must keep hold of the deep truths of faith with a clear conscience. They must first be tested, and then if there's nothing against them, let them serve as deacons. In the same way, the women are to be worthy of respect, not malicious talkers. The women here, there's the little C in our text there. There's a little footnote there. Women can mean their wives. So it could refer to deacons' wives, or it could refer to, effectively, women deacons. It's unclear which is the case. The fact that women deacons are referred to elsewhere in the New Testament means we are just kind of very happy to see this as almost women deacons rather than their wives, and we're very happy for this to be a male or female role. So in the same way, the women are to be worthy of respect, not malicious talkers, but temperate and trustworthy in everything. A deacon must be faithful to his wife and must manage his children and his household well. And then there's a little bit of text, those who serve well have done a great thing. Awesome. So, it's qualifications of a deacon. It's demonstrating that this isn't just a practical role. If we go back to Acts 6, this isn't just serving on tables. This is people who are genuine followers of God, whose lives are trustworthy, respectable. They are of impeccable character. They are followers of God, full of the Spirit. So, from these two passages, as we move through this and want to appoint deacons in our church, there's some principles I think we can draw out from this fairly safely, and they are these. Ta-da! So, firstly, the people we choose for this role as a church must be Spirit-filled, godly men and women. We see this in the Acts 6 passage that was described there. The people that the church was told to choose were people of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit. And the whole body of the teaching in 1 Timothy 3 is all about that. It's about people who are trustworthy and honourable. And the point is that deacons are to be, they've got to be spiritual people. It entirely isn't the case that maybe that in some way the elders are the spiritual ones and the deacons are just practical ones. That's not the case at all. It's a serious, godly role. So that's the first principle. The second principle, they take a role that frees the elders for their roles. So in Acts 6, we saw it. It's not right that we should... Can I point at it? Yeah, there you go. It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the Word of God in order to wait on tables. So do this stuff. And then down here, we'll turn this responsibility over to them, and we will give our attention to the prayer and the ministry of the Word. So the role of the deacons allows the elders to be freed for the stuff that elders need to do. So there's a couple of outworkings of that principle, I suppose. One is people that we appoint to be deacons need to be given genuine responsibility and the freedom to carry out those roles under their own initiative. And the second one, there's a rule of thumb as to what roles would be covered by a deacon. And the rule of thumb would be that if that person was taken out, would the elders have to step in and do it? So we've got some wonderful children's workers in the other room. We've got some wonderful children's workers in this room, actually. We've got children's workers in this church. If one of the children's workers was to step down for some reason, please don't. If one of the children's workers was to step down, rotas could be rearranged and other people could cover for that children's worker. It would cause some headaches and it would be a real shame. But we could cover that without the elders having to step in and fill that role. If the person who's heading up all of the children's work in the church steps down, then at least temporarily, the elders would have to pick up that role and to keep that role going until someone else could be found to be doing that. Does that make sense? And so a rule of thumb, it's not entirely biblical. The Bible doesn't say this is what this is how you define what an elder, a deacon is. But we find this as a helpful rule of thumb when we're deciding what roles would be deacon roles. Does that make sense? Good. Awesome. Next one, the church is involved. We see this in this Acts 6 passage. Brothers and sisters, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit. And then verse 5, this proposal pleased the whole group, and they chose. Now, that's partly what we're doing now, as I'm standing here telling you about this, partly is that, and I'm going to be asking for you and everyone else who's not here when we put out this material to them, to talk to us about this and pray and give us your wisdom and questions and all that kind of thing. I will say here that I regret not having done this before. So as on the eldership team, I've kind of spearheaded this and I made the call. We're quite a way through this process, and I made the call that we wouldn't tell you until we'd got things straight in our own heads. And in hindsight, I think that was a mistake, and I'm sorry. So, just want you to know that. If we were to do this again, I think we should have told you right at the beginning of our process on this, and we didn't, and I regret that, and I'm sorry for not doing that. I don't think it's the end of the world. I'm not going to keep on beating myself up over it. I don't think we're in a dangerous place because we haven't, and we're different to this situation because we're not at a standing start. So this isn't, most of our areas of service have been going for years, and we've already got people serving in those, and so it's not a matter of choosing people from a standing start. So I think we're kind of okay. But I just wanted to say, I would have liked, I regret not having spoken to the church and involved you in that decision early on. So I think that's helpful. But the church is involved in this process. So as we do bring deacons into the church, we want all of us to be involved in some way, shape or form in that process. They're tested. This is from the 1 Timothy 3 passage. They must first be tested. And then if there's nothing against them, let them serve as deacons. So in the same way as the earlier passage, Paul says elders shouldn't be new converts because the whole thing can go to the head. We need people that we know are trustworthy and honourable and are tested in some sense. And it may be, in probably not at this stage, but in some, if people are coming into a new role, there is a testing time in that role before that person is given that role. In fact, in most of the cases we're talking about, people have been doing that role for a long time already, so we're kind of, that kind of got that covered already, but it is one of the biblical principles that we look to here. And then finally, it is formalized. And so in our church, we don't tend to like formal stuff. We don't. We tend to be informal. We tend to be fairly relaxed about things. But there's some things that we are formal about. So we do take communion. We do baptize people. We do go through some of those biblical formal processes. Not many, and only when the Bible requires us to. But with deacons, we haven't done that up until now. Like I say, we've got people who've headed up areas of ministry, but we have not formalized that. And that is probably the change that we want to bring in here. We want to formally call people deacons. We want to pray for them. We want to lay hands on them. We want to appoint them for those tasks, which seems entirely biblical and right. So, there you go. So here at New Life Church, how will that work? Well, it kind of already is, because, as I kind of alluded to before, we've been trying to work our way through this a little bit secretly without telling you that. Not secretly, but we haven't told you. Like I say, I regret that. I don't think we should have done. But we have been gathering a group of people that we have in mind as deacons. And what we do is we meet together, elders and deacons-to-be, and we just meet every so often, and we talk together and pray together and worship together. No, I don't think we have. Just talk and worship and pray. And generally, we talk about one of the areas, we discuss one of the areas that one of those people are responsible for. Not necessarily, so it may be that something like we're considering buying a building, and that may be the discussion that we have. But generally, we'll discuss one of the areas of responsibility that those people have, and then we can gather the wisdom from people who are responsible for different areas of the church as well. And we found that helpful. It is fairly early days, but we found that a helpful process. Who those people are. Having said that, I regret not being fully open with you about the deacons thing before, I'm now going to tell you that I'm not telling you who the deacons are. And there's literally one reason, but I think it's a good one. So after today, I'm going to be asking your feedback. I'm going to ask your opinions. I'm going to ask for any questions, any concerns. And if you guys bring concerns or questions that can sound at all negative, if I've named some people who are going to be in those roles, it would be very easy for those people to take those negative or those concerns personally. And literally the only reason we're not telling you who those people are right now is we want to protect them from being hurt in the discussion. So we want to take this a step at a time. We want to talk about the concept and the principles, and then very soon after that we'll tell you who we're talking about. So it's not a secret, but we just want to take this a step at a time. We want to protect those that we have in mind. Because I know what it's like. People can talk about this church, and I will overhear those comments, and I will take them personally. And to the extent I'll lose sleep over this stuff, and I'm not that delicate or sensitive, but I will, and I am determined that we protect the people that we're presenting for this role. So I hope I've explained that well enough, but that is literally the only reason we're not telling you right now, okay, who those people are. I hope that makes sense. But we will do very soon. So we would invite your prayers about this. This is in some ways it's not a big change, because like I say, we've kind of been running with heads of department, heads of ministry already. But it is a significant change. We're introducing a role into the church that's not been there. So we'd invite your prayers, but we would also invite your comments. We'd love your questions. We'd love your suggestions. Particularly, you may have been involved in churches in the past that have had deacons or introduced deacons, and that process may have gone very well, in which case you can help us with how that went well. It may have gone appallingly badly, in which case you can help us to know what kind of stuff to avoid with this. So but questions, comments, suggestions, anything like that, we would love to hear from you. Does that make sense? So that is what I had to tell you. I don't normally do this. Are there any questions immediately that would be helpful for me to address right now before we move on? Cool. That's all right. Good. Okay. In that case, that is the end of the talk. I told you it's a bit different to normal. It's a bit weird. And it doesn't naturally lead us back into worship, except to say that we're doing this because we want the household of God to look right. And we do this, as we do everything in this church, for his glory. And because we want to honour him. And we want his church to be a glorious light in this town. And if he's told us to run his church in a certain way, we absolutely want to follow him in every way we can. In the same way as we do with our lives. We want to follow him as he tells us to follow him. And I think that is an appropriate way to lead back into worship. We want to follow him in all our ways, whether it's in our lives or whether it's here as a church. So I'm going to pray for us, and Tim and Sam, if you can come and lead us in worshipping our glorious King. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the clarity that you bring in your word. And Lord, we do want to follow your ways, the ways that you laid down with that clarity in your word. We want to shape our church, this church, New Life Church, in the way that you want it to be, in the way that you've described it in your word through your servants. So help us on this path, we pray. But Lord, in every way, help us to do that. In our lives, as we worship you in this week, we pray that we would be following you in the way that you've called us to follow you. In this church, we pray that we would follow you in the way that you've called us to follow you. Jesus, be glorified among us, we pray, in your amazing name. Amen. Amen. Shall we stand and shall we worship?